Good morning, Abundant Life. We need to continue to keep our hope and our faith in Christ. And so this morning, we're going to start off with prayer. We're going to believe in the power of God, the Word of God, and be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's take this time to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in this time in which there's so much uncertainty in this world. Father God, give us the strength as children of God. Lord, that we continue to put our hope and our trust in you. Father God, I know that there's many challenges that we're facing. Lord, not only with our health, Lord, the possibility of losing loved ones. Lord, even in how we are dealing with how to pay bills or how to react in this time of uncertainty. But Father God, I pray that we look unto you. Lord, that we put our trust in you and our hope in you. And Lord, that we believe and draw our strength from you alone. And Lord, I thank you for the church that we can encourage each other. Lord, that we can instill hope in each other, that we continue to believe. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, lead and guide us through your Holy Spirit and also through your word. The word of God that is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you glory this day as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm going to be talking about Jesus calms storms. You know, when we think about life, and we just think about the uncertainty that's going on right now, I believe that we need to understand the power of Jesus in our lives, in calming storms that we face. This morning, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 8, 23 through 27. It says, "Now when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" We also see in Mark 4, it talks about in Mark 4, 35 through 41, again, the account of the disciples waking Jesus. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. The other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" And then we see an account of Luke 8, 22 through 25. The word of God says, again, it says, "Now it happened at a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples. And he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they were sailing, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, How can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. It's interesting to think of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These are followers of Christ. These are different men, and they heard the same thing. And it's even documented. We see that Jesus, as he was in the boat, that he fell asleep, and we know that this storm arose, and these three men that were followers of Christ, they saw the wind and heard the wind, and they saw the waves hitting the boat, and there was great fear. But we see the account of Jesus as he woke up, and he spoke to the wind, he spoke to the sea, and that he rebuked, and that sea was calmed by the power of Jesus. So Jesus asked these three things as we were to look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It says, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And the same person that had heard this said the same thing from Jesus. Why are you so fearful? And then Jesus spoke, How is it that you have no faith? The question is, where was their faith? And today, as we look at TV, as we listen to the radio, as we get on the internet, I want us to recognize that there's three things here. That we recognize the very three things that affect us. Number one is what we hear. What is it that we're actually hearing? Number two, what are we seeing? And number three is how we feel. So even with the disciples, we see how the disciples were affected. Number one, they heard the wind. They heard the wind. Actually, there was a great tempest that came down onto the lake. They actually heard the wind coming. Number two, they saw the waves. Could you imagine with the waves rolling and hitting against the boat? They not only heard the wind, but they saw the waves beating against the boat. And number three, they felt they were going to perish. They even came to Jesus, Master, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? So as we read the word, who was it that they needed? They needed Jesus. In order to get to the other side, like the disciples, we need to trust in Jesus. It's very important that we keep our faith in him. Like the disciples, seeing all the different things that they were facing at that time, that they heard the wind, they saw the waves, and they felt that they were perishing because of the boats filling up with water, and they went to the Master, and the Master is Jesus. So when we look at our lives, we have to ask ourselves, what are we looking at? What are we hearing? And do we feel like we're perishing? Because of our hearing, and because of our seeing, and because of our feeling, we can get into a place that can deceive us from believing that there is no hope. Jesus wants us to have our hope in him. But when we listen to what the Word of God says, when we see Jesus being our hope, when we let faith control our feelings, we come through to the other side. This morning, that's what I want us to put our hope in, is in Christ. That we truly are seeing that we will get through this, that we can continually believe in the Master, the God of all plans is Jesus Christ, and that we hold fast to trusting and believing in him. Because there's so much that is out there, what we watch on TV, what we hear on the radio, or what we see on the internet, there are certain things that will cause us to feel a certain way, but yet we need to understand the importance of trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Notice what Jesus said in all the scriptures about their faith. Where is it? Where is this faith? And he even actually said, ye of little faith. So we have to ask the questions ourselves about faith. When Jesus mentioned about their faith, where it was, because fear had been taken out and took place of faith, fear entered in, and Jesus recognized, ye of little faith. I believe Jesus is asking you and I the same question. Where is our faith? Is our faith truly in him? I think this is a time in which we live right now that really sends a message about our believing in Christ, that we are truly followers, just like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We could see that they were seeing the waves, they were hearing the wind, and they had this feeling of perishing. And I encourage us today that we continue to see that God wants us to use our faith in trusting in him. Well, you might say, where is your faith? I can remember a story when Jamie, my daughter, were with me to Africa. We were facing a troubled time in the country of Kenya. And so when we had gone on this pastor's conference, Jamie was going to do a youth conference, and I was going to meet with the local pastors and actually share pastoral leadership. And I can remember the team that went with us, that they were going to meet with the Ministry of Defense. And they came to a gate, and they were parked there. And there were two thugs that came out of Tanzania, and they were in Kenya. And they actually killed a person, stole their car, and they came upon the van in which our team was in that was parked at the gate. And they pulled out guns, and they stole everything they had. And all that information, as far as passports, money, a computer. And it was a terrifying thing, because one of the things that we were being instructed on before we actually went on this trip, that is that people like to kidnap people, especially if they're foreigners, and that they would use that person to get money. So at that time, I was at a house in which I was staying, and I heard about this incident of this robbery that actually happened, where they took literally everything. They were held up. They took everything that they had. But you can imagine, at that time, I had fear going through my mind, and I was warring. I was battling in my mind the fear and the faith thing about what would ever happen to my daughter, what's going on, and trying to get a hold of her. And I believe today it can be the same thing. We have this thing that's going on in our nation, and we're to trust God, believe in God, but yet there can be that fear that tries to capture us and to hold us in a place of bondage, and it can be very difficult. It was not an enjoyable situation that I was in. Here I was wanting to know where my daughter was, because I did not want anything to happen to her. Well, I believe that's what's happening today. I think that we're trusting God, that we're believing that nothing will happen, that we're living by faith, but yet the fear voice wants to enter in so much that it wants to control the faith part of our lives. I'll never forget my daughter calling me, Dad, what do you want? And she was having a great time with the youth kids because she was having a youth conference. They took pictures. They just enjoyed her. And here's Dad that is trying to not be in fear, to be a man of God of faith, and yet there was the battle going on in my mind, and I was so just relieved of thinking my daughter is safe. And I remember her coming to the place that we're staying, and I give her the biggest hug that you could ever imagine. But yet, even today, I want us to see the importance that we do not let fear keep us in bondage, that we're men and women of God, that we're trusting in God in such a way that we're not letting the voices of the enemy, we're not letting the voices of this world get us in such a place of bondage that we have such anxiety, such stress in our lives, that we are just so consumed, I know that is easier said than done. But there's one thing that God wants us to do. He wants us to exercise our faith. He wants us to trust in Him. And so when we think of our lives and there's times that we say, this is not enjoyable, I believe that as we're looking at the challenges that we're facing today, whether it's staying healthy, whether it's facing the challenge of losing a loved one, or whether it's the challenge of paying our bills, or whether it's the challenge of what is our future looking like, the message of the gospel is still the same. Do we trust the Lord? We have to ask that question. Do we trust the Lord? In Philippians 4:4-7, Paul wrote this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's an amazing statement when we think of all the things that may be going on in this world, in this nation, in our community, in our lives, and yet Paul's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. I believe this is our finest hour. As believers, as Christians, that we are followers of Christ, we have a message that we can share with those that may be in great fear. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 8 and 9, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In verse 9, it says this, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I truly believe Paul had this revelation from Christ, that he wanted to share those things with you and I, that we would put our trust in Christ so much because of the experience that Paul had, that he's saying, you know what? Let the things of God mold your life, not the things of this world. So here I have my questions. Just like the disciples, I have to ask this question. Number one, what have you been listening to? Number two, what are you watching? Number three, have you been using your faith? It might seem like those are questions that we shouldn't pay attention to, but there are many voices that are out there. There are many things that we can set our eyes on. But the other part is this. We are to be men and women of God of faith, not feelings. We serve a God of faith, not a God of feelings. So I want to encourage you this morning, be the men of God. Be the women of God that He's called you to be. Trust in the Lord. Prepare your heart. Put the word into your mind and in your heart. The reason being that is because the word of God says to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. So when I ask these questions, what have you been listening to? Number one. Number two, what are you watching? Number three, have you been using your faith? I truly believe as we look at our lives, faith is a big part of who we are. The last scripture that I want to share with you is this. In James 1:2-3, it says this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, it's kind of interesting. I thought I got to look up this word called patience, because this it says that knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So when I looked up the word, it says in this text means a positive steadfastness that bravely endures. I believe as men and women of God that we need to see the importance of the patience, that a positive steadfastness that bravely endures. We need to stay brave. We need to stay strong in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray as we see all the challenges that are in our life, Lord, that we can count it all joy. Lord, as we face challenges, generally it strengthens our very character and who we are. Lord, whether we'll be men and women of God of faith, or Lord, if we're being challenged, how does that build a greater relationship with you? Lord, I pray through this time and this season, we know it will come to an end, but Lord, I pray that we would draw nearer to you than ever before. Lord, that we are brave, enduring men and women of God for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.